morning. Good to see everyone here. Let's begin our worship this morning with our gathering hymn, 571, You Are My All in All. It's also printed in your order of worship. Stand as we sing. Be seated. The Lord be with you. And welcome as we gather to worship God this morning together here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. And we're so glad that you're here. We're especially glad to have guests in our service today. Thank you for being a part of our worship. If you're a first-time guest or if you haven't done this before, if you could take one of the visitor's cards in the pew rack and complete that and put it in the offering plate when it's passed, that'd help us know how to get in touch with you if you'd like for us to. And for those who are joining us by radio or the internet, we're glad that you are with us and pray it'll be a blessing to you as we worship God together. We invite you to come and visit with us and worship with us anytime here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. We would love to have you. There are a number of things that I would like to call to your attention. There will be a floating baby shower this afternoon from 2 to 4 for Caleb and Amanda Riggleman, as their little one will soon be here, and we are rejoicing with them. There are other things going on. In the bulletin, it says no youth group today. We are going to meet this afternoon at 5:30 with the youth, so please, kids, we hope that you'll be able to be here. And then Wednesday evening, we'll resume our normal activities with Kids Club at 6, choir practice at 6:15, and prayer and Bible study at 7, resuming our study of Paul's letters to the Thessalonians. We want to say thank you to all those who came out on a cold day on Tuesday to help us with the food bank. We had a good number of volunteers, had about 8 or 10 students from Chowan that we deeply appreciated their help, and we served nearly 70 families, and so that was a good day. Now, the next step in putting our directory together is underway, and so if you have pictures of different events or activities in the church that you can share, please give those to Dale Acock, and we'll include those in the directory page, activity pages. Remember that Lent will soon be here, and so we'll have our Ash Wednesday service on March the 5th. That will also be Big Wednesday, so we'll have dinner. And then the service will be in the sanctuary here at 7 o'clock. And our Lenten lunches will also start on March 5th, and the Methodist Church will host the first one. And we'll have it here at Murfreesboro Baptist for the last one on April the 16th. Now, it has been a week of contrasts with cold weather, snow, and now it's warmed up a little bit. But it was the good kind of snow because it came, it was pretty, and then, at least on the streets and most of the sidewalks, it went away. So that's a good kind to have, and we're sorry we weren't able to have things on Wednesday evening, but we are glad that we're able to be here today. As we worship God together, I invite you to join me in our call to worship that comes from Psalm 37, and it's printed in our order of worship. If you would join in on the bold print, please. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret it only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their refuge in the time of trouble. And let us pray. Indeed, Lord, our salvation is in you, and you are our refuge in time of trouble. As we worship you together now, teach us to commit our way to you more fully in the confidence that when we trust in you, you will act in your time and way according to your will and purpose. May the praise we offer to you now be acceptable in your sight. May we listen to your word in scripture, song, and sermon with open minds and hearts, so that we may learn to trust more fully in your ways and your great eternal redemptive purpose in Christ. May your name be exalted among us as we worship you, and may your church be built up in love. Through Christ our Lord we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 285, God of Grace and God of Glory. 285.
Thank you.
children come for the children's sermon.
Tell the teacher. That's what you should do. You should tell the teacher, but you know what? Some people don't do that. They say something mean back, or sometimes it's not even something mean. They may just hit them. Is that what we're supposed to do with people we don't like, or people who don't like us? No. And today's story that Pastor Mark's going to read is about the fact that Jesus told us we're to love our enemies. Even when they say mean things to us, we're supposed to turn the other cheek and love them, because we know that if they're saying mean things about us, they need Jesus in their heart, right? So we have to remember that even when somebody else says something mean to us, we should tell an adult, and we should pray for them and hope that they're going to get Jesus in their heart so they won't do that again. So let's say a prayer. Dear God, we know that mean things are said. We know that fights happen, wars happen. But we know that we have to find a way to love those people and let them know about you and your son. In your son's name.
Good morning. Our Old Testament lesson today is from Genesis 45, verses 1 through 11. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years. And there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing or harvest. And to keep alive, many survive. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, and you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I will read from Corinthians 15, 35 through 49. But someone will ask, "How are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. Not all flesh is alike, but there is one flesh for human beings, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are both heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one thing, and that of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. Indeed, star differs from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there also is a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven, as was the man of dust. So are those who are of the dust, and as is the man of the heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. And we come now to our prayer time. And as we do, we have a number of folks we've been asked to remember, the family of Jerry Hawkins. Also, we continue to pray for Faye Jenkins, Bonnie Jenkins, Randy and Cindy Copeland, and Gary Brett. We want to continue to remember the John P. Revel family. Also, Genevieve and Chris Broadhead, and Gerald and Jennifer Taylor. So let's join together in prayer, remembering these folks and others that are on our hearts and minds and other situations on our hearts and minds as well. So let's pray together, and we'll close our prayer with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty God, Lord of life and Lord over death, we come before you in gratitude for all you have done for us and will do in Christ Jesus our Lord. We confess that we often fail to see how you're working in the midst of our circumstances, and that, like Joseph of old in our Old Testament lesson, it's usually after the fact and in hindsight that we trace your providential hand in what we've been through. We thank you that your word teaches us that even when we cannot see how you're working, we can trust your heart, confident that you're working all things together for the eternal good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And we thank you for that purpose in which you're working the salvation of all those who trust in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your presence with us now through your Holy Spirit and for the promise of Christ's return in glory to raise the dead and judge the world in righteousness and set all things right in the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness is at home. And Lord, we thank you for this hope of resurrection that you've given us in Christ. Though we do not understand all the mystery of it fully, we thank you that in that day, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. And now, Lord, as your word teaches us, with our thanksgivings, we also present our petitions and intercessions to you, praying for the work of your kingdom in the world and for your church throughout the world and in this place, Lord. Father, we thank you that you are working your purpose in the world. And Lord, we see in other parts of the world how you are working in amazing ways, and we honor and praise you for that. Lord, we pray that you would work in our land to bring a time of spiritual renewal within your church and a time of spiritual awakening in this land so that your church would be drawn closer to you and would be living as you call us to live. And Lord, that those who don't know you would experience an awakening that your Spirit would bring, that they would turn to Christ as Lord and serve him in the fellowship of his church. Lord, we do pray for our country. We pray for our state and our town, for our civil leaders at all levels, that you would help them always to do what is right, to do what is truly best for those they serve. And Lord, we pray for those who are suffering because of all the different natural disasters that have taken place and all the different human-caused disasters that have taken place. Lord, we read in the news about so much violence and so many shootings and killings, and and other kinds of violence against people, Father, we ask that you would intervene and that you would work in our land and in the world to bring peace. For those, Father, suffering from the ravages of war, we ask your help for them. For those, Father, who are being oppressed and persecuted because of their faith in you, we ask your help. And Lord, we also pray for those who are sick or injured. These we have mentioned by name this morning and others as well that we've not mentioned, but that are on our hearts. We ask your help for them, that you would bring healing and health, and Father, that they would soon be doing much better. Lord, we know that you have the power to heal, and that sometimes you do that in miraculous ways. Sometimes you do that through the medical community. Lord, we know that sometimes you choose not to heal, but to work in other ways in the midst of the suffering. However you choose to work, Lord, we trust you and ask for your help according to your gracious will. And Lord, for those who grieve, we continue to pray for them and lift them to you, asking your help, your comfort, your strength. Father, we pray for our children, our young people, their parents, their teachers, those who guide them in other ways, for our college students, wherever they may be, for all the students, faculty, staff, and administration at Chowan, asking that you would work in their lives in a very special way. And Lord, for those who don't know you, for those who may know you but have strayed away, we ask that your Spirit would work in their lives to draw them to yourself. And Father, that those who don't know you will come to know you, and those who have strayed away will come back into fellowship with you and with your church. There are many other things on our hearts and minds this morning, Lord. So we gather them all now, and we lift these prayers to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit as one God now and forever. And we offer these prayers in the words of that prayer that he taught us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn is number 437, How Wide the Love of Christ. Number 437, How Wide the Love of Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, gracious giver of every good and perfect gift, help us to become more like Jesus in every way as we follow him. In our outlook and attitude, our behavior and relationships, help us to live as he lived, relating to everyone in mercy and generosity. Nurture in us a deep and genuine desire to share in the work of your kingdom here on earth through your church. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Our text this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Again, Jesus says, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." Let's pray. And so, Lord, guide our thoughts now as we look into your word. We pray that you would clear our minds, that you would give us focus, that you would help us to hear what you would say to us today, and that you would help us to respond in faith and obedience. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, a member of the church that I was serving at the time shared a story with me that had been going around on the internet, and it went something like this. A driver had done the right thing. He stopped at a school crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by speeding up and making it through before it turned. But the tailgating woman behind him went ballistic. And she was shaking her fist, and she was yelling at him, and she was making all kinds of gestures, and, you know, she had missed her chance to get through the light because he had done the right thing. And while she's yelling and screaming at him and using some language that wasn't too light, nice, she heard a tap on her window, and she looked to see a very stern police officer looking at her. And he ordered her to get out of the car with her hands raised. He took her down to the station. She was searched. She was fingerprinted. She was booked. And then after a couple of hours, another officer went and brought her back to the booking desk, and the arresting officer was there with her personal belongings, and he said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, but you know, when I pulled up behind you And you were blowing your horn and you were making gestures at the guy in front of you and you were cussing up a blue streak. And I noticed the What Would Jesus Do license plate holder, the Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker, the chrome-plated Christian fish symbol on the trunk, and the My Boss is a Jewish Carpenter decal on your back window. Well, naturally, I thought you'd stolen the car. Ouch. We Christians have been known to act more like the world than the Lord and Savior that we claim to follow, haven't we? Especially behind the wheel of a car. But not just there, in other ways too. Now, last week we looked at the passage immediately preceding today's text, and we saw how Jesus pronounced beatitudes and woes that turned the expectations and values of this present age upside down and inside out. Blessed are you who are poor, who are hungry now, who weep now, who are hated, excluded, insulted, defamed on account of Christ, in other words, persecuted. What's blessed about all that? In other words, what's Jesus talking about here? And if this blessedness that he was talking about is about genuine bliss and happiness, a state of blessing that we're to be congratulated about, what's to be congratulated here? Well, remember what Jesus said. The kingdom of God, his rule and his reign belongs to the poor, and those who hunger now will be satisfied, and those who weep now will laugh, and those who are hated and excluded and insulted and defamed for Jesus' sake, well, they're in good company with the prophets because that's the way they were treated. The exact opposite of all this is true for those who trust in the riches and the plenty that they have now. They have theirs in the present, but in the future they won't. And so Jesus is saying here that there's a lot more to be concerned about than just what we see and experience in the here and now. He's saying that the blessed are to be congratulated because no matter how bad things are now, in the end, everything will be set right. He's saying that what we experience in eternity is much more important than what we go through in the here and now, our present circumstances in time. And that's a kind of perspective that empowers us to deal with anything that comes our way, good or bad, weal or woe. When we have that perspective, it makes all the difference in the world. Well, Jesus has already turned things upside down as far as outlook and attitude, so he might as well do it for behavior and relationships too. And in this text we're looking at this morning, that's exactly what he does. Because he goes on to tell those who are listening to him that day, and us, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. And then he gives some very specific examples, some of them quite shocking, to be honest, to make his point. Turn the other cheek. Don't stop the one who's taking your coat from taking your shirt, too. If anybody begs you for something, give it. If somebody takes something from you, don't demand its return. Do to others as you would have them do to you. What does Jesus mean by all this? Isn't he simply saying that his followers are to respond the way that God responds rather than the way the world responds? Jesus goes on to say that even sinners love those who love them and do good to those who are good to them and lend with the expectation of full repayment. But Jesus says that if we're good to others, including those who would take advantage of us and mistreat us, good to them not because of them and how they treat us, but because that's what God would do, then our reward will be great and we will be like God. We will be children of the Most High. And what that phrase means is that we will be like our Father in heaven. In other words, Jesus says, we are to be merciful just as our Heavenly Father is merciful. We're to relate to others as God would relate to them. When we do, it'll show in our attitudes toward others. It'll show in our willingness to forgive. It'll show in our generosity. Who and what we really are will be demonstrated by what we do and say, the fruit of our lives, and by how we do it and say it. So do you see what he's talking about here? It's about doing as Jesus would do. Having an eternal perspective, relating to others in mercy as God does. All this is part of putting Jesus' teachings into practice. And that's what he's talking about in this passage. And when we put Jesus' teachings to practice in our lives, that is a different way to live than what the world teaches us, isn't it? A very different way. All that Jesus says here is the total opposite of what the world in this age tells us to do. Because the world teaches us to act toward others in a way that's reciprocal to how they have acted toward us. You return good for good and evil for evil. The world calls for revenge and then some when someone wrongs us. It tells us to hate our enemies, to do to others as they do to us rather than as we would have them do to us. It tells us to hold on greedily to what we have, to share with others only when it's going to benefit us in some way. You know, the old proverbial, one hand washes the other, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of thing. The world knows nothing of loving enemies and doing good to others without expecting something in return. Forgiveness is generally not a part of its vocabulary, and generosity is always conditional. I mean, take for instance what happens in war. What do? Your enemy shoots at you, you shoot back, right? Or maybe you even make a preemptive strike to keep your enemy from shooting at you. In the ways of the world, it makes total sense. And that's what made what an army medic named Stephen Schutterer so amazingly unusual. Back in 2005, he was patrolling the streets of Baghdad when he was shot in the chest by an enemy sniper. Fortunately, he was wearing a bulletproof vest, so while it knocked him to the ground, he was not seriously injured. And he got up, and the team that he was with went looking for the sniper. And when they found him, he had been wounded himself. It would have been very easy for Schutterer to have taken advantage of that and beaten him for what he had done. This man had just put him in the crosshairs of his scope and pulled the trigger trying to kill him. It would have been very easy for him just simply to say, he's wounded, he's dying, and just walk away. But that's not what he did. He treated his wounds. He treated his wounds and saved him. You see, at this point, loving one's enemy wasn't just a concept. He was helping the man who had just tried to take his life. The world's way would have been to let this sniper suffer and maybe even die right there to return evil for evil. But in a very real way, this soldier had just shown love to his enemy, doing good to one who had done evil to him. The world teaches us to hold on to our hurts, to exact a pound of flesh rather than forgiving. It conveniently ignores the fact that we all need forgiveness and tells us never to give up our right for vengeance. But Jesus tells us, forgive and you will be forgiven. We prayed it just a few minutes ago. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus declares that whether it's about judging and condemning others or forgiveness or generosity, the measure you give will be the measure you get. You see, the one who is unwilling to forgive is really not able to receive forgiveness. Now you may be saying, oh, but you don't know how badly I've been treated. You don't know how much I've been hurt. You don't know how deep the wounds are that I've experienced and how horrible the scars are that they've left. No, I don't know. But Jesus does. Jesus knows. And he calls us to forgive and to treat our enemies in loving ways, returning good for evil. Let me tell you a true story. You remember how in South Africa, for decades and decades, apartheid was the law of the land. Total separation between the races. And a small minority ruled the land and was often very vicious to those that were not like them. Well, after apartheid was abolished in South Africa in the mid-1990s, the Nelson Mandela Presidential Administration established a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. It didn't accomplish everything that had been hoped for, but there were some good things that were done. It was led by Anglican Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and it was entrusted with authority to grant amnesty to some who had committed atrocities. Now, it wasn't a blanket amnesty. It was on a case-by-case basis. And one case involved a police officer whose last name was Vandenbroek. As an elderly South African mother and widow looked on in court, he acknowledged his responsibility for the death of her 18-year-old son, along with some others. He and some others had taken him prisoner, shot him at point-blank range, and then burned his body and reduced it to ashes in a very gruesome way, and partied while they were doing it. Well, about 8 years or so later, they seized her husband, this same group. And after they seized him, a few hours later, they came back just after midnight that same night, and took her to where they had him, and he was bound and lying on a pile of wood, and they made her watch as they poured gasoline over him and set him on fire. The last words she heard him say were, "Forgive them." Well, after apartheid was ended and the Truth and Reconciliation Commission was doing its work, Officer Vandenbroek was on trial. And as he stood awaiting judgment and sentencing, she was there in the courtroom. And the officials asked her what she wanted done. She calmly said, "I want three things. I want Mr. Vandenbroek to take me to the place where they burned my husband's body. I would like to gather up the dust and give him a decent burial. Second, Mr. Vandenbroek took all my family away from me, and I still have a lot of love to give. Twice a month, I would like for him to come to the ghetto and spend the day with me so I can be a mother to him. And third, I would like Mr. Vandenbroek to know that he is forgiven by God and that I forgive him too. I would like someone to lead me to where he is seated so I can embrace him and he can know my forgiveness is real. And as they came and led that elderly woman who had been so deeply wounded by this man, as they led her toward Officer Vanderbrook, he was overwhelmed and he fainted. And then somebody started singing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And gradually, others began joining in as they sang, "Amazing Grace." This deeply wounded woman, this widow whose only son had been taken, she understood. She understood what Jesus was saying here. Love your enemies. Do good to those who do evil to you. And she was showing her enemy the love of God and forgiving him as God does. How we live as Christians, whether we truly follow the way of Jesus, living as he calls us to live, it not only makes a difference in our lives, it makes a difference in our witness. Jesus calls us to live a different way, a way characterized by love and mercy and generosity. William Barclay once said, "More people have been brought into the church by the kindness of real Christian love than by all the theological arguments in the world. And more people have been driven from the church by the hardness and ugliness of so-called Christianity than by all the doubts in the world." He's right, isn't he? He's right, isn't he? So the question is, how will we live? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you set the bar high, but you've shown us how to do it. When you went to the cross, you loved your enemies. You prayed on the cross for those who were crucifying you. And you forgave our sin when we turned to you. And Lord, you've shown us down through the ages, through some of your people, what it means to live the way that you're talking about in this passage. Lord Jesus, help us to follow you, to live as you lived, rather than the way the world teaches us to live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing our hymn of response this morning, number 589 at Calvary, perhaps God's speaking to you about some area of your life that you need to submit to him more fully. Would you do that this morning? Maybe some commitment that you need to make. Perhaps it's about following Jesus as your Lord and Savior, being baptized and becoming a part of his church. Whatever your need is this morning, if you need to share it, if you need to share that commitment that you're making, if you need guidance in trusting Christ, we invite you to come as we stand and sing number 589.
are thankful for your blessings. Lord, we know that the way that Jesus calls us to is not the way of this world. Help us, Lord, to learn more and more of what it means to follow him and to be faithful in doing so. And so now as you go forth to follow Jesus as your Lord on mission with him and striving to live in the way that Jesus taught, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father who loved us